All right, turn over to the book of 2 Timothy this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me just say, you guys over here, that last song, you sang that song like you mean it and like you believe it. I like to hear that. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look today at verses 1 through 7. A little over 10 years ago, I can't believe it, been 10 years ago, I preached through the book of 1 Timothy, and today I'm going to start a brand new series by preaching through the book of 2 Timothy. And nobody said you have to preach them right next to each other, right? So 10 years later, it's okay. So today we're going to focus in on that, and let me give you a little bit of background behind Paul's letter here, this second letter to Timothy. It was written somewhere between 2 to 4 years after the first letter. This letter, guys, contains the very last words of Paul. Timothy had been with Paul on his second and third missionary journeys. He chose Timothy to be the leader of the church in Ephesus. And in his first letter to Timothy, he encouraged Timothy on how to silence false teachers, how to choose effective leaders for his church in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus presented a great challenge to Timothy in his youth, overwhelming challenges. And as Paul wrote this second letter, the Christian church at this time throughout that region was persecuted. All throughout the Roman Empire, they were facing severe persecution. This was during the reign of the Emperor Nero, who we know was a horrible, horrible person. Began major persecution in AD 64 as part of his plan for him to pass the blame of the great fire of Rome from himself to the Christians. And this persecution spread across the empire and included public torture and murder. And so as you read the book of 2 Timothy, as I read it, and probably you've read it before too, the tone of this letter is kind of somber. You know, Paul is imprisoned. This is the last time he's going to be in prison. He knew that he was going to die soon. And as he awaited his execution, he wrote this letter to his dear friend and his son in the faith, Timothy. And, you know, I'm sure Timothy must have been, as he received this, truly cherished this letter from his mentor, his father in the faith, his friend. As one commentator wrote, and I read this and I really liked it, he said, although this second letter was an intensely personal communication to his young friend Timothy, it was also and consciously his last will and testament to the church. And so as we read this letter, as we begin to read this, in the first part of the letter, Paul does what he typically always does when he writes a letter. He encourages. And in here, he encourages Timothy to have a strong faith. And so let's take a look at it. Let's see exactly what Paul said. And this morning, as we get into the real nuts and bolts of the sermon, I want to answer this question. How is our strength, or how is our faith strengthened? Let's read the scripture, then we'll answer that question together. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, for the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly loved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father and Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. Remembering your tears as I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Clearly recalling your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice, and that I am convinced is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So again, we're going to answer a question this morning. And this is what Paul is essentially saying to Timothy. How is your faith going to be strengthened? The first thing that Paul mentions here is kind of a recollection. Our faith is strengthened, number one, by godly influence. Our faith is strengthened by godly influence. You know, Timothy had some wonderful godly examples in his life. First of all, there's none other than Paul, right? Paul was his father in the faith. As I said earlier, Timothy had been Paul's traveling companion on his second and third missionary journeys. And Paul was a wonderful example in Timothy's life. Timothy got to see firsthand this great man of God loving the Gentiles, ministering to people, sharing Christ. Timothy saw firsthand what a servant of God looks like. And I know this was a big influence in Timothy's life. Also, Paul consistently prayed for the churches that he planted. And so he consistently prayed for their leaders. This means Paul consistently prayed for Timothy because he appointed him an elder at the church at Ephesus. And even though they were separated from each other, Paul's prayers were a great source of encouragement. And as Paul sat in this damp Roman prison cell, he could no longer travel, he could no longer preach, he could no longer do the things that God had called him to do. But you know, the one thing that he could do is pray. Amen? He could pray. And Paul expressed his gratefulness to God for Timothy and his ministry in Ephesus. Paul knew, listen, I'm going to die soon. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. I'm going to die soon. But Timothy had been well prepared to carry on the ministry of the church. Paul was going to die, but the Christianity and the gospel would not die. Amen? It would carry on. And so Timothy had this wonderful example in his life. Paul. But who else does Paul mention was a great influence in Timothy's life? His grandmother and his mother. Never underestimate the power of being parents who love Jesus that we have on our kids and our grandkids. Timothy's mother and grandmother were early Christian converts. If you go back over in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 1, they were most likely converted through Paul's ministry in their hometown of Lystra. And they obviously had passed on their strong faith to Timothy, even though Timothy's father, who was a Greek, probably was not a follower of Christ. And again, like I said earlier, we see the value in Lois's and Eunice's life in Timothy, and we can never underestimate the powerful role that we as grandparents and as parents play in our children's lives spiritually. How many times have we said in here in this room together that our first mission field are our children and our grandchildren? They're the very first ones that we want to reach because we have the most influence over them. And so it's important that we live a faith that is sincere, that we can be a godly example to them. This is perhaps the greatest single thing that will encourage our children and our grandchildren in their faith to be sincere, is that we're sincere in our faith. Lois and Eunice understood this. And as a result, Timothy grew up with a sincere and genuine faith. He had these two individuals who modeled it for him in his life, and he grew up and he followed suit. Faith, guys, listen, let me just say, faith is not inherited. Just because your parents or your grandparents are Christians doesn't mean that you're going to be a Christian as well. Faith is not inherited, but it is passed on from one generation to another through the godly influence of parents. In this case, it was the godly influence from Timothy's mother and his grandmother. So Christian parents, keep having those kids and be a model of Christ to them. But as I think about the godly influence of Paul and the godly influence of Lois and Eunice, I thought about us today. Who are the people we are influencing? Who are the people we are praying for? Who in your life right now needs some encouragement? Parents and grandparents, are you passing on your faith to your children? Parents, when your kids look at your marriage, what do they see? Do they see you at home versus being at church? When they see you at home versus being at church, do they see the same person? Or are you quite different? You know, our faith is often strengthened by the influence of others. Whose faith needs to be strengthened by you today? Who are the people that are looking at you? Remember what Jesus said, talking about the little ones? We talked about that a few weeks ago. When we cause the downfall of one of the little ones, that could mean your very own children or grandchildren. It could be other young believers that are looking up to you. When we cause the downfall, Jesus said it would be better for you for a millstone to be tied around your neck and you be thrown in the depths of the ocean. He said it would be better if that would happen to you than the judgment that will come upon you if you cause one of these little ones to stumble and fall. Now, we don't like to talk about some of the stuff like that, but that's exactly what Jesus said. That's why we have to be careful, because the little ones are watching. The little ones are looking up. And little one could be somebody that's actually older than you. You could have somebody that's older than you, a younger believer, but yet older than you, still looking up to you. That's why we have to be careful. And our faith is strengthened by the influence of others. Whose faith needs to be strengthened? By you. So how is our faith strengthened? Number one, by godly influence. Number two, by keeping our faith ablaze. Isn't that what Paul said there? He said, verse 6, therefore I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you. Now notice Paul didn't ask Timothy to restart a cold fire. What did he say? Keep that flame going. Keep it going. In other words, don't let this thing in your life, your faith, don't let it die down. And so what Paul was doing, he was conveying to Timothy to continue doing what he was doing. He needed to continue to be bold in proclaiming the gospel. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, and then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 10 through 11, Paul indicates that he was a little bit concerned because Timothy was young. He was concerned for Timothy. And Paul wanted Timothy to be an example. He wanted him to take charge. He wanted him to use his gifts for God's glory. He wanted people to be able to look up to him. And the way that he needed to do that was by keeping the flame of his faith ablaze, to keep it going. Don't let it die down. You know, when we don't keep the fire stoked, it's going to die. Have you ever gone camping and you were in charge of the fire? Kids love that, especially little boys. Man, they want to keep that fire going. They're going to put everything that they can find in that fire to keep it going. I don't care what it is. Trash, cans, whatever, they're going to throw that in there. They want to keep that blaze going, you know? But what happens when you don't keep the fire going? It dies down. The same is true with our faith, guys. We got to keep the fire stoked. It's going to die down. When the fire dies down, guess what? We don't generate as much heat. We're not going to be as effective in the kingdom of God. So how do we do that? How do we keep our faith ablaze? Well, simple things that we already know. Read and study God's word, right? Want to keep your faith ablaze? You want to keep the fire stoked? Study and read God's word. B, pray. I mean, prayer probably should have been first, okay? Because that's the most important thing, but they're all equally important. But read and study God's word, pray. Letter C, go to church. That's important. When we get out of the habit, it's hard to start back. I know we're all busy. I know it's hard sometimes. I get that. Some of you work 6 days a week, maybe even seven. I understand that. But make that commitment. Go to church and then share the gospel. You know, we started something this last Wednesday, and this is kind of a plug for that. If you missed the first week, it's okay. You can come again this coming Wednesday. We'll get you caught up. But we started talking about how to share our faith using the three circles. And guess what? I've already heard several testimonies from people that were there on Wednesday night who've had opportunities to share the gospel, the three circles, with people who don't know Jesus Christ. Already. This is the first time they've ever tried anything like that, perhaps. But God is already using our church to share the gospel with people. You want your faith strengthened? You want to set your faith ablaze? Share the gospel. Man, I tell you what, that'll pump you up. That'll get you some excitement going. And it's not going to die down. So those are simple. I mean, there's more, but those are very simple things. Read and study God's word. Pray. Go to church. Share the gospel. You want your strength, you want your faith strengthened? Do these things. Number three, another way to have our faith strengthened is to rely on the Holy Spirit. Rely on the Holy Spirit. What does Paul say there in verse 7? He said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment." You know, Timothy undoubtedly, in the situation where he ministered, experienced opposition. It was a difficult situation. He experienced opposition as he led and ministered there in the church in Ephesus. His youth and his relationship with Paul probably caused his leadership to come under fire at times. I'm sure he felt intimidated. I'm sure he felt angry. I'm sure he felt helpless. I'm sure he felt fear. Normal things that you and I all experience in our lives each and every day. But guys, here's the thing. When we allow people, when we allow circumstances to intimidate us in our faith is weakened and we won't be effective. In times of weakness, who do we rely upon? The Holy Spirit, right? We need the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to strengthen us, strengthen our faith. And Paul mentions three ways the Holy Spirit empowers us. First of all, he says he gives us power. That dunamis, right? That word where we get dynamite. He gives us power. Listen, I understand that not all of us have the kind of personality that is strong. Listen, you don't have to have a powerful personality to be a Christian. You don't have to have that. For some, being strong doesn't come naturally, and I get that. But God, through His Holy Spirit, will supernaturally replace fear with boldness. I'm reminded of what happened in Acts 4:31. Remember when the believers were told, listen, don't preach Jesus anymore or there's going to be some serious consequences. They went back to their church and they said, this is what's going on. Let me tell you what they just told to us. And the Bible says in verse 31, we don't know what to do. Let's pray about it. Let's ask God to help us in this situation. And in verse 31, the Bible says, "Is when they prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak God's message with boldness." They didn't say, "Lord, take us out of this situation. We don't like it. It's not fun." They said, "Lord, empower us." And guess what? God empowered them with the Holy Spirit. And they went out and they continued to speak the word of God boldly. All of us can relate to that. Every one of us here this morning can relate to that. Because we've been in similar situations. But the Spirit of God gives us power. Another thing the Spirit of God gives us, the Holy Spirit, is He gives us love. You know, love has to be present in the midst of power. It's what Paul said over in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Go back and read that. He said, you can have all these gifts and love and do all this stuff and say all this neat stuff, but if you don't have love, then you have nothing. You can literally give all your money to the poor, but if you don't love them, then you've gained nothing. And love is the thing that just wraps around everything, every gift. And love always has to be present in the midst of power. And according to Jesus, remember what he said over in John chapter 13? Basically, Jesus said, guys, here's the deal. From now on, love is the defining quality of my followers. You know, we all come from different walks of life. We all are born in different places. We root for different teams. And we like different foods. But you know what? When it comes to the Christian life, we're all on the same team and we wear the same jersey and we're all defined by the same quality, and that's love. And Jesus said, I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So love. Guess what? The Holy Spirit helps us to love unlovable people. And we all deal with them. Maybe we're one of those people. We're one of the unlovables. And we're glad that when people love us and have grace for us. So the Holy Spirit helps us to love the unlovable people. And then what's the third thing he mentions there? Sound judgment. Maybe your translation says self-control or sound mind. It's all basically the same thing. But if you think about that word sound, when the word sound is used as an adjective, it means in good condition, not damaged. It means that it's not damaged or injured or diseased. Something is sound. It's perfect. It's not damaged. Guys, when our faith is damaged, if our faith is injured, if our faith is diseased, we're not going to be effective, right? When we rely on the Holy Spirit and we discipline ourselves, our faith is going to be sound. And we're going to be used by God to the fullest extent. Remember, right after Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, he told a parable about the wise builder and the foolish builder. He said, if you're wise, you'll listen to these words of mine. You'll put them into practice. If you're foolish, you won't. He said, because in life, the storms are going to come. It doesn't matter if you're wise or fool. The storms of life are going to come. But those who will listen to my words and take action and obey them, those are the ones like a person who built his house upon the rock. The rains come, the floods will come, but that house will remain constant. We talk often about people ignoring God's design and how it leads to brokenness. And we see that brokenness all around us. It's because people don't listen to the words of Jesus. They don't follow God's design. And when our faith is damaged or diseased, we're not going to be effective. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, to keep us in line, right? To not let us get out of line. To keep us where we need to be so we'll be sound in our faith. Those are the things that God has given us. And if you want your faith to be strengthened, rely on the Holy Spirit. He gives you power, love, and a sound judgment. You know, every day in our lives, we rely on things. Okay, for instance, we rely on doctors when we put ourselves under their care. We trust that the decisions they make will help us get better and be the right decisions for our health. We rely on financial institutions when we put our money in their banks. We trust that they're going to keep our money safe. When you drove to church this morning, you relied on your car to get you to church safely. Why is it that when we trust in all these things that really fail in comparison to the Holy Spirit, why is it that we have problems relying on the Holy Spirit? Why is that? Because out of all those things that I just mentioned, the other ones that we could think of this morning, the Holy Spirit is undeniably the most reliable. If we want to have a strong faith, we have to rely upon the Holy Spirit. If we want to have a strong faith, we have to keep our faith ablaze, keep the fire stoked. If we want to have a strong faith, we have to follow godly examples of others. And we want to be a godly example to others as well. So that's what Paul told Timothy. That's what Paul is telling us this morning. Which of these things in your life do you need to work on? Maybe two of them you're doing great, but the third one you're not. Maybe you need work on all three of them. We're all in different places, and that's okay. The good news is that we can start over if we've blown it and not been who we need to be. God gives us a second chance. And he wants to give you that chance this morning. What decision do you need to make in your life today? Maybe it's salvation. Maybe you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You could say, well, Pastor, I can't really rely upon the Holy Spirit because I don't even know Jesus. Well, today could be the day of salvation for you, and I would invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you say, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian, and you know I've never followed up with baptism. I've never been baptized scripturally by immersion as the Bible teaches. Maybe you need to make that decision today. Maybe God is calling you to become a member of this church. Say, I'm going to plant my life here, plant my family's life here. This is where God has brought us. We're going to put our roots down here, and we're going to be used by God at Bogey Hills Baptist Church. Maybe God is doing something even bigger in your life, like calling you personally to say, I want you to be involved in ministry. I want you to be involved in missions. I'm calling you to be a missionary. You know, these things, guys, we want to hear about because, listen, we want you to understand that as you go through life, as God begins to call you to do these things, you're not alone. You've got people here that care about you and want to help you get to that next level in your life. So in just a minute, Andrew's going to come. He's going to lead us in a song of invitation. It's an opportunity for you to make these decisions. Or maybe something that God spoke to you during the sermon today. Make that commitment to him. And if you do make a decision, once again, grab that Connect card. Fill it out. Let us know what's going on so we can help you get to that next point in your life spiritually. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to sing and give you an opportunity to make these decisions for Christ. Lord, we thank you today for what we've heard in the sermon. And Lord, these are simple words, just a message of greeting. But Lord, within that greeting to Timothy, so many important things we need to understand about our faith. And I pray that we would put these into practice today. That we would follow godly examples. That we would fan the flame of our faith. I pray, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts today. We need to rely upon your Holy Spirit. Lord, we invite you to have your way in us now. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus.